Welcome to Investing in You, presented by Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a show where we explore and discuss topics relating to finance, community, and life. Welcome back to the show. Today in the studio, I have with me Billy Packer, branch manager of our Rochester location. Billy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So it's been about 10 years now that you've been branch manager at Rochester, and I was there for some of them, two or three years, I think.
Yes, you were.
So lots of fun times and lots of time spent talking to members about what we're going to be talking about today, which is budgeting.
Budgeting.
So let's get into it. The first thing we'll probably just start with is at the beginning, as we typically do, which is just define what a budget is and what people typically think of when they hear the word budget.
Yeah. Well, a budget is really just defining how you spend your money or how you save your money on a monthly and yearly basis. It's tracking those pieces to see if there are opportunities to reduce costs and also planning for your future. Sometimes I think budgeting has a bad connotation or word with it. People think negatively about budgeting because it feels restrictive. So sometimes we say things like, how are you going to allocate your finances? What do you want to spend your earned money on?
This is a different way of reframing it as rather something that's imposed on you that just stays this way forever. It's more, how are you going to be managing this actively throughout your entire life?
Yeah, it's empowering to feel like you're in control of your finances, and that's what really this is all about.
So would you say, are people more receptive to budgeting and wanting to budget when they look at it through that lens as rather than something that's set in stone, it is more fluid?
Definitely. I think it just the perspective, the way that you look at budgeting can definitely determine how excited you are to do it.
Excited about budgeting. Well, I'm sure there's some people out there that do get a lot of enjoyment out of doing it. I guess you were talking about wants and needs. I guess we should probably go over how would somebody go about determining what exactly those are for them personally?
Yeah, I think, your needs are your basic, your food, your housing, vehicle if you need it for work, you need insurance. Kind of starting at the top, like I need a place to live, I need to pay my utility bills. Those are all needs that you have. But there's also things like you may have a bad back and you have to see a chiropractor. And if you don't, you're going to be seeing the doctor more often. So that might be a need for you. And so it's just determining what your needs are versus what your wants are.
And then would you say that once someone's figured that out, then I guess what would be their next step? You talked earlier about having kind of go, like, where do you want your money to go? So would you say once someone determines what their needs and wants are in the moment, that they then look at, well, what am I wanting for myself in the future? And kind of starting to build a short-term way of looking at their finances and then a longer-term one to meet those goals?
Definitely. I mean, I think if people sit down and you have your needs set and then you see what's left over, if you want to buy a house someday and you want to start to plan for that, that might be one of the wants high up on your list and something that you're going to continue to save for. Other ideas of wants are, I love my coffee in the morning.
You're not alone.
So that's something that's a want for me. It's not something I need yet.
Right.
There's days, but
When you don't have it, it sure feels like a need.
Yeah. And then just making sure that all the things are on the list and it's easy. Once they're on paper and you can see them, do I really need to spend $200 on clothing every month? Or do I maybe need to spend $50 on clothing and I want to reallocate or take some of that money that I've been spending and push it somewhere else?
So would you say that's more on the side of looking at like what good does come out of creating a budget is that you start looking at it a little more long term, like where do I really want my money to go to?
To go, yeah. What's important to you, and it helps with if you know where your money's going now, and even over the last year, you can start to plan where you really want it to go. And I think that's probably the biggest piece, is just knowing where your money is going initially when you first start to make that budget.
Okay, so then now we've kind of gone over wants, needs, and how someone can navigate looking at maybe their own spending habits. Maybe they print off some statements and look at, well, where exactly is my money going? What are those needs things that have to get paid for? How much is that? Then maybe the wants. Maybe coffee's in the middle. Maybe it's a want or a need, depending on the day. But maybe there's some other spending there that's all wants, you know, whatever that may be. Subscription services that you have. It's up, I guess we probably should just say that it really kind of is individual. I mean, don't let someone else tell you, hey, no, that's a want, not a need. But based on those longer term goals that you have, like you went over, maybe you want to have a down payment for a home, or you want to have that emergency savings like we talked about in the last episode, of that's kind of a buffer system against the unforeseen. Is it worth putting some of those things as a lower importance and funneling that money somewhere else? So once you've kind of figured out how that lays for you, then I guess the next thing would be, well, then where does somebody go from there? How do they actually start creating the dreaded word budget, or if we say, how do they just start actively managing their finances? Because they now know that it's something that you're going to always be doing this. So
yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, for like the gym membership is one of those things that sometimes people cut out, but there's a lot of people who feel very strongly that they need that. So it's at the top of their want list. And no one should tell you what you should be spending your money on. It's your money and you get to decide. I think it helps to look at it in, if I go to Caribou, for instance, not to pick on Caribou, but if I go to Caribou, four times a week, every week, times $5, that's $20. So if I look at that in the course of a year, would I write a check for that amount of money for my coffee four times a week?
Right.
And when you can ask yourself questions like that, that can kind of help to prioritize your list a little bit. Well, maybe I don't need to go there as much. Maybe I only need to go to Caribou twice a week. Maybe I go to Starbucks one, or whichever one you prefer.
Or I get on the homebrew bandwagon. I can just rock out of bed and it's there for me. I don't even need to get in the car.
Yeah. And maybe that's why so many coffee machines are sold in January. Everybody's kind of looking at how do I cut that stuff out of my budget.
But that's a very good point. Yeah. If you were to pay for it all in bulk January 1, so a year's worth of whatever subscriptions, a year's worth of coffee, which would be a big bill for me, a year's worth of whatever. Would you even be able to pay for it? Which then might have you thinking, well, okay, do I want to do this? How often do I want to? Or if you could, would you still think there's maybe a better use for that money?
Yeah, this is worth it.
Right. If I want to have that down payment, or if I want to have the boat, you know, the Alumacraft, go on Minnetonka and show them what a real boat looks like, you know. Now you've got that money sitting there. Well, what do you actually want to do with it? And if you're not okay spending it in bulk at the beginning, what about that being spread out over 52 weeks makes it more appealing to you? And it just has the ball rolling. Again, no judgment is completely out of this, because it's your thing, but just some things to think about, because every place is trying to get your money. You got to have a plan for it, or
definitely
someone else is going to have a plan for it.
Yeah, somebody else is going to make that plan. Yeah. And you're in control of that. And just setting a budget or allocating your finances to be able to afford the things that you want in your life is empowering. It allows you to make the decision yourself instead of having other people make those decisions for you. Like, oh, it's only $1.99. But those small little things can add up over time. And so we just need to know where they are, what they're going for, so that you can make those decisions, so that when you're standing in front of, you're at Quick Trip in my area, and I'm going to swipe my card for something that I know, okay, I've budgeted for this. This is my breakfast, and this is something that I'm going to do every morning. Maybe it's fruit, maybe it's yogurt. But those are the small things are the things that definitely add up over time. And so we have to know what our large yearly bill is on those items.
All right. And then you can, you know, treat yourself. And that's you touched on something huge, which is one of the biggest benefits of actively managing your finances. We're not going to say budgeting. We're going to say better words, is that the amount of confidence in knowing I know where my money is going. I know where it's not going. And I know that based on what my maybe short-term, medium-term, long-term goals of where I want this to go, I know what all that is. I've mapped all of it out. It gives you a huge sigh of relief the more of those things you start ticking off, like, okay, got that covered, got the emergency fund, so now I can sleep better at night knowing that's taken care of. That's, you can't put a price on that. And working with members, I'm sure you've had this experience too, where they come in and it's the sky is falling, and we sit down with them and we say, hey, like let's figure this out.
And that's when you see the most. I mean, that's when I feel like I see the most excitement from people, is when they realize that they can do this and they actually are making enough money. Because sometimes people, when they come in to see us, they're feeling like they're not making enough money or ends just aren't meeting. But really, in reality, if they are able to see where their money is going, they can make those decisions that empower them, that put them in a better financial position. And that's exciting.
Yeah, that made it worth it. That's the one thing I miss about working in a branch is those stories.
You can always come back, Michael.
I might take you up on that. To see those success stories made it all worth it for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly to your point. They would come in thinking, no, there's no way this is going to work. Nope. And that's usually when people decide to come in. It's when they think, oh my God, I'm so underwater. I'm never going to see the light of day again. And sometimes, you know, I guess we can get into that part of it too. But I mean, for most of the time, it is just, well, let's just sit down. We'll print off a whole year's worth of statements if we need to, or just look at them electronically. Because some of those bills that can really bury you are, they just come once a year. So, you know, property taxes, you know, once a year, or big tuition bills, or, you know, maybe that's not once a year, but, you know, whatever. There's things that only happen once. So print it all off, see where it's going. And then, come up with a way that you're going to manage that going forward. Does give them, it is sort of a light at the end of the tunnel for them, and they do definitely appreciate it when.
Yeah, I think one of my big ones was my kids, like school supplies and school clothes, and I had three kids, so it was a large bill in September, August and September every year. And the game changer for me was when I started saving just a little bit of money every time I got paid in an account for school supplies, so that when August and September rolled around, I had enough money to be able to go and get the things that I needed for them. And that was, so I just, my first step was one thing, not everything, but just budgeting for the one thing that was going to come yearly that I knew and I could count on. And that helped me, you know, kind of continue to do that with the other things in my life too.
And so how did that make you feel when next, you know, the new JanSport backpack has to get bought, the books, the binders, the pencils, you know, that you got to share with everybody, and the clothes. And I mean, how did you feel when that first, after you'd done that and it came around again and it's just sitting there ready for me to.
Yeah. Well, my credit card didn't get used.
Well, there we go. That's always a plus.
So that was a positive thing. Yeah. And speaking of, you know, I mean, I think that's when someone comes in to see us, typically it's when they feel like they need a loan for something big like that. I need a loan, I got behind, or something large in my life has popped up. And that's typically when we try to sit down with someone to figure out a budget moving forward. Doesn't mean we're going to say no to the loan, but we obviously, it's not putting someone in a good position if we don't try to help them in that moment. And so, you know, that's what can happen if you don't create a budget. You can find that you know, you may need to rely heavier on revolving lines of credit, like credit cards, and it can put you in a situation where more of your monthly income then is going towards bills and credit card debt than towards the things that you want to, the goals that you have in your life.
Right. If you're not saying, okay, well, I know that those are there and I've got to take care of them, then yeah, you do end up getting, you end up coming in going, well, I need some kind of sort of clean slate thing that maybe a personal loan or something like that is going to be the way of doing it.
Yeah.
But also we try, at least you, I'm sure every member advisor does, but I know we did also, was to go over, okay, well, what got us here? What, and again, it is what it is. It's in the past, but let's just at least look at it. And let's see if we can structure this, structure the finances, get you in a groove where, you know, you'll pay this off, but then you've also got the habits going forward of mitigating having to do this again. And the confidence that's going to come from knowing, well, yeah, I've got the credit card still.
Yeah. And there's no judgment. I mean, it is, again, it's your money and we want to help you get the things that you want in your life. So, you know, sometimes it's just sitting down and saying, okay, let's do an inventory of where your money's going so that you know, and you can make those decisions. So, yeah. And it can change over time. I mean, my kids aren't really needing a lot of school supplies anymore, so
they're taking care of that on their own.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's a good. I guess that's a good point then too. We should. It'd be worth talking about, when should somebody start budgeting?
Start budgeting. Start allocating
air quotes,
your earned money,
yeah,
your earned income.
Exactly. Managing their finances. when would be the best time for somebody to?
It's really up to the individual. I mean, I think the first time you have a job, you should start to budget. I mean, you know, hopefully you're telling your kids, make sure you put some money away for a rainy day. You know, make sure you put some, pay yourself first. You've heard of that before.
Yeah.
But you want to actively participate in making it successful. So, like with me, I started with one thing that I started kind of budgeting for, and then I saw that it worked. So then I kind of continued to apply that to other areas of my life. And pretty soon it doesn't feel heavy. It doesn't feel like work or feel like restrictive. It feels empowering.
Yeah. Especially if you get, you know, we did kind of say it's never set in stone, but certain of these habits do end up just becoming automatic. If you've got it structured where money's just automatically getting funneled certain places, you just end up recalibrating, renormalizing to, okay, well, this is just what I've got to do, whatever with, you know, but all of the other already spoken for money that's coming in is going where it needs to go. So I suppose if you're young and you're doing that landscaping job or mowing lawns or babysitting or whatever to make money, it would be okay. Well, what are your expenses? Is it going out to the movies? Is it going to Friday night football games? Is it, you know, dates or whatever?
That first check you get though, the first job you ever have, you should spend the whole first check. That's your first paycheck.
Go
do
out.
Something fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I could go with that. Yeah, for sure. Treat yourself. Definitely.
But start before you're in financial trouble, you know, start before, before you're struggling so that you have the tools. And so even if you're feeling great, like I got a job, I've got my second paycheck, what should I do with it? That's the right time to start for me. But it's not for everyone. Sometimes that doesn't happen. And sometimes it's later in your life.
Yeah. Sometimes it is just the pain of you didn't do it is enough to say, well, I don't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
And you can try and be preventative as much as you can be with, trying to instill good habits. So put something away for a rainy day, budget. But it is difficult when it's young and like, well, what are your actual, I mean, everyone's living situation is different. So we should probably preface by saying that. But
absolutely,
most children probably aren't on the hook for the mortgage. They're not on the hook for, a lot of what you would classify as maybe adult bills that you don't usually get until later on in life.
Save for your 401k.
Exactly. Retirement. You know, what is this? I don't even have a job yet, but I'm supposed to be saving for retirement. Okay. That makes sense. But yeah, I mean, to that point. So the earlier you do, it just comes. Yeah. I mean, we stated it before, but if you don't have a plan for your money, someone else is going to make a plan. There's a lot of time and effort spent into pricing things in such a way as it's not too much where you're going to go, I don't want it. But it's enough where, well, if it happens consecutively over months and years, it's going to add up to be a lot of money.
How much is Spotify? I think all three of my kids have Spotify and they've got that really.
I should know this because we are on Spotify. I have no clue. I do not have any of those. I have not any of those streaming services. But yeah, I mean, things like that. They price that to have it be painless.
Yeah.
Air quotes. But how many of those painless things are getting drawn out of your account every month? So your all your streaming services, your music stuff, your 2-day delivery because you can't live without 2-day delivery for some reason. Whatever the case may be, all of those. Individually on their own, maybe don't hurt, but what does it add up to on a monthly basis? And to your point of like, well, where is your money going? And would you want to pay for that all up front in a year or even on a monthly basis? Is it really giving you the kind of value you think it would be? Or would having all of that go towards those bigger things that you really want it to go towards? Would that give you more fulfillment long term?
Definitely.
So, yeah, lots to think about. And, yeah, and it's going to change from when you're high school age to when you're in college to when you, you know, or whatever path you take.
Yeah.
From, you know, after you're done with your scholastic career to wherever you end up going, whether that's 4-year trade school, just right into the workforce, entrepreneur, whatever it is, join the services. All of the ways in which you can break after you're done with high school.
And hopefully your income increases and you can add things to your budget, you know, maybe the things that you want. But not
treat yourself. We probably shouldn't say like cut out everything that's fun in life. You'll be set up for retirement, but you're going to be really miserable along the way. That doesn't seem like a trade-off. But at least knowing, sprinkling some stuff in there, probably good.
Yeah.
But just having an eye on the long-term goal of whatever that is for you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to retire when I'm 55. I want to have the lake cabin up north. I just want to not have to, I want to have maybe recurring income even when I am retired. So how are you going to go about doing that? Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to start my own business. Well, how are you going to go about doing that? So it all has to have a plan.
Definitely.
So now we've gone over all the positives associated with managing your finances. What gets in the way of folks sticking with their plan once they've got one in place?
Well, remember, it's a combination of a year. So it's all the small things all kind of together. So honesty can be a barrier if you're not honest with yourself. Stress. A budget is supposed to be a work in progress. So don't, you know, give yourself a little bit of grace. I think that the stress of making all those decisions at once can impound and can make people kind of shy away from it. Additionally, if you're in a relationship or you share finances with someone, that can also, you got to sit down together. You have to be able to make those decisions together. And what might be important to one person in the relationship might not be as important to the other person. And so basically kind of hashing that out. So those are kind of some of the things that can get in the way of having a good budget.
So finding a little middle ground and compromise with where exactly you do want the funds to go to. Always a good idea.
Yeah.
So what would you say would be any tips, tools, tricks to make not falling off your plan a little easier for people?
Well, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to have someone do it with you if you're comfortable with that or if you have somebody that you trust. But really just going to your financial institution and saying, can I have all of the, you know, and include your credit card statements, too, if you use your credit card for daily expenses. Get get 12 months of bank statements and simple math, just go through and categorize the things. And, you know, if you get gas and a coffee, it's okay that it goes into gas, you know, unless, you know, you get a coffee every day and then you might want to look at that as well. But just do like either a piece of paper or a simple spreadsheet, whichever you prefer. And then make a list of where all your money has gone in the last year. And then compare that with your needs and your wants, the things that you've decided are really important in your life and the things that you want to allocate your finances to go towards.
So kind of where it's at now, where you want it to be, and then maybe those other columns for where do you want it to go in the future too. And then just, I guess, shift everything around.
And revisit every month. I mean, it's not a set it and, you know, like you, to your point earlier, it's a fluid item. It's something that can change and should change. And your priorities might change too, even over the course of a year. So don't feel like you have to, that's my budget and I have to stick to it.
Right.
If you and, you know, your kids decide you want to spend a little bit more money in the summertime, having a little more fun because they're out of school, it's okay to look at your budget and take away from something else and put towards a pool fee.
Right, exactly. And then you know the compromise that you're making or the sacrifice, or maybe it's to your point where you say, okay, well, now you're adding to your skill set, whatever the case may be, and now you're able to generate more income. Now, well, that isn't me sacrificing one thing to make those pool trips or whatever vacations work. It's just now that extra money coming in is just going to that to that line item. So it isn't making a sacrifice in a way in which you might have to otherwise. Yeah. But also, too, it is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe one year it's just you, it's whatever expenses you have. And then maybe the next year it's not just you anymore, and it's you and someone else, and maybe there's some little ones on the way. And
surprise babies.
Surprise. And now it's okay. Well, we're off to the races, and now we've got to budget, manage our finances.
Babies are always wonderful, yes. But sometimes surprises.
that we have to, well, now that's going to be, they don't raise themselves, you know. You know, it's like, that's not how it works, so we have to obviously budget, manage finances in a way. So maybe that boat is going to have to wait till, you know, maybe they're a little older.
Yeah, they can enjoy it and go water skiing behind it.
Sign me up for that. So, but yeah, it's a moving thing, and it's not about denying yourself something. It's just about you've clearly prioritized what it is that you want, and whether that's reallocating money you're already making or maybe putting yourself in a position to be able to generate more income in whatever various way you want to do that, so that you can meet all of those things that you do want. And whether that's just you making that decision, or whether that's you and your other half making that decision, or anybody involved in that, you're all on the same page, you know where you're going, and you're going to have far less stress.
I think one of the biggest success stories that I remember is a young lady who came in, and she was working two jobs, and we sat down and she really stuck to her, I know it's a bad word, to the budgets. She allocated her finances. And a couple of months later, I would say 6 months later, she came in and she said she was actually able to quit her second job, and she was able to spend some more time with her kids because she just had a little more attention, a little more knowledge. And that's the kind of thing that it can do. You know, if you're working two jobs and you're away from your kids and you want to be with them more, sometimes a budget can help you do that. And she's just someone that I think about a lot when people come in.
Yeah, I bet she's over the moon with that. I mean, you can't put a price on spending more time with your kids.
Right.
That's an awesome story. Beautiful way to close it out. I would just say if you had... And I ask this with everybody that comes on, if you had one takeaway that you would want someone to walk away from after listening, what would it be?
Start small. Just take one thing that you want to focus on first and start small, and then you're going to see results, and it is going to make you want to do more.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, Billy, It's been a pleasure talking to you and wonderful to see you again. Been a long time.
So you as well,
thank
Michael.
You for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Investing in You. We hope you found it informative and inspirational. Special thanks to Minnehaha Recording Studio for use of their amazing facility. If you'd like to revisit any part of the episode, check out the show notes on our website at affinityplus.org. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and you'll be notified as soon as new episodes are released. And we'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you thought about the episodes and what you'd like to hear on future episodes by connecting with us on social media. We'll be back with our next episode, but until then, keep investing in you. Affinity Plus is federally insured by the NCUA.